message this morning at 5 o'clock. Charles Stanley preached that same message this morning about the garden and what happened. And he cautioned us to be careful or we could end up in the same position. So, Al, I appreciate your message. There's a lot of things out there that will try to get us to fall. Every day. Every day. So we need to be aware of that. Does anybody have a word? We need to go to prayer. We need to take a prayer request. Of course, I've mentioned my brother-in-law's mother. Her name's Jewel. I keep mention it, but I not mention her name. But remember Jewel. Anyone else? Certainly, we need to remember Jim. He's been through a lot. Amen. We need to remember our kids, too, in school, with all the things that they face. We need to remember them. Remember Rob. Remember Rob as he brings a message tonight. Anyone else? If not, let us each lead out in our own prayer.
My home may not look like a castle. My clothes may be lacking in style. And if you come sit at my table, a meager supply you might find. But oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king, makes me a king. To me, our treasures unseen. God made a world filled with beauty, with things we enjoy every day. My secret to love him and serve him his way. But oh, it's not what you see that makes me a king, makes me a king. To me, I've everything, all that I need, all that I need are treasures unseen.
Thank you, Chris. Chris, have you got another congregational?
Yes.
And then we've got some special singing coming. If anybody's got anything to say, it's your time.
281. I forgot to tell my musicians.
My hand. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Amen. Amen. There was a party in heaven today, huh? There was a party. Amen. All right. We've got some special guests here.
Among the shadows, you wiped my tears away, and I felt the pain of heartbreak. God, you give and take, and I've prayed prayers to heaven from my lowest place, and I have held the blessings. God, you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountains, I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley, I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I am not alone. You're God.
Well, you pray, because it's kind of hard to find four parts when I got three bass singers. So I was hoping that Ethan would stay my tenor singer, but God has other plans. So Isaac, fortunately, can go and get some baritone, so we work this one out. I get to sing a lot with Isaac now, and I'm thankful for that. I really am, but to be able to do this, this means a lot to me, and I'm thankful.
Sir, but you have nothing to draw with. He heard the doubting woman say. So how do you expect to reach this water and quench my thirst today? He said, the dry and dusty bottom, where he gently reminds me again. He said, I am the water.
got four parts on. You pray for us. It's hard to do. I got Eli sings the lead an octave low because he's a bass singer too. So, but we're working on some. So you pray. Pray for
Amen.
Us. And we figure it out.
Yeah, you got an opportunity to do something I don't. I asked Little Briar the other day if one day we could sing a song together. She said, I don't think so. I'm not going to probably have that opportunity. But, yeah, she told me pretty quick, you know, and they're fairly honest, so I don't think I'm going to sing one with her. But God's good. Isn't it good that we can laugh?
Yeah, amen.
We really need to laugh every now and then. Life is serious enough, and we need to just laugh every now and then. I think about some of the animals he made, and a duck-billed platypus always comes to mind. You know, it's like he had some parts left over, and let's just make one of these. And how good is he? How good is he? Anyone else? If not, Rob, would you come? Brian Harper, would you ask a blessing on the word?
Good evening.
Good evening.
A little bit better. Good evening.
Good evening.
There you go. There you go. It's been a good day, has it not?
Sure.
And there will be showers of blessings, right?
Yeah.
All right, so if I said, aren't you glad it's raining? How many would say yes? None. But if I said, aren't you glad it's not white? How many would say, praise the Lord for the rain? All right. A few months from now, we're going to be really enjoying the white stuff. Let's put it that way. Enjoying the white stuff, right? So it all is perspective. We've had enough rain. I keep hearing, got enough rain. But when it turns white, we would wish for clear, won't we? Because we're never happy. We're never happy. We get what we pray for, and we want something different. All right. If everybody's done... Anybody else got anything to say? God been good to you?
Amen.
Amen. God has been good. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Without my glasses, I thought I was there, but it's Exodus 12 I'm in. I tell you, I got to have them. I think there's even a pair down here now, so when I forget mine. Exodus 23 and verse 20. Now, I want to talk for just a few minutes. 23 and verse 20. This was not my text until a few minutes ago. This is part of the sermon. So we'll be coming back to this verse, but we're going to start with this verse. Because what we're going to talk about is God has prepared you for this moment, and God has prepared this moment for you. God is preparing every day for you in your life. So Exodus 23 and verse 20 says this: Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. You see, I've heard a saying a lot that your whole life has led up to this moment. Anybody ever heard that? Your whole life has led up to this moment. I want to say it like this. Your life has led you to this moment. This moment that you're in right now. This moment that you will be in tomorrow. This moment that you were in yesterday. This moment not being necessarily right at this second. This being the moment which is a big moment for you or a big moment for me. The moment that we need to step out for God or we need to step up for God. Or we need to go for God. If God's asking you to do something, if God wants you to say something, if God has a job for you to do or me to do, and it's bigger than we are, your whole life has been leading you up to this moment, and God has prepared you all along. God has prepared you all through your life to get to this moment. Whatever this moment is, God has prepared you throughout your entire life to get to be ready for this moment when this moment happens. Now, this moment might be tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow it's going to happen. And something happens that's bigger than you, bigger than you can ever think, bigger than you can ever dream. It's too hard. God says, I need you to do this. I need you to do something for me. Because God needs you. God needs you to do something. Because he's not down here doing it. Now, don't get it wrong. If you don't do it, or if I don't do it, God will find somebody else to do it. God has somebody ready to step up when I don't. God has somebody ready behind me to take the step that I'm afraid to take, to make the move that I'm too scared to make. God has somebody ready, but he doesn't want somebody. He wants you. He wants me in this moment because he's prepared this moment just for me. He's prepared this moment just for you. And all along your life, he's been getting you ready for it. All through your history. Things, if you look back, when you go through this moment, when you go through that time, when you go through that trial, when you go through that temptation, when you go through that request by God, when you step through it and you get through it and you look back, you can see that all through your life, God has led you to that moment, God has brought you to that moment, and God has prepared you for that moment, and God has prepared that moment for you. It's like this, wherever this moment is for you is different for all, and it's different for you in different days. What your moment might be tomorrow might be God asking you to do something. What your moment might be next week might be a trial that comes your way. What your moment might be the next week might be something you want to do for God. See, they're different moments, but they all have the same God. They're different things, but they all have the same Spirit. They're different things, but God has been leading all the way through your life, leading you up to that, leading you to take that step, to make that move, to go for God. And what we need to do is we need to step up when God asks us to step. We need to step out when God asks us to step out. We need to go when God says go and not hesitate. We need to take that step because God said so, not any other reason, not because I think I'm good enough, not because I think I'm prepared enough, but because of this, because God has you ready. God has you ready for what it is he's asking you to do. Many times in our life, we think we're not ready. We think, God, I can't do that. I can't do that. We could look through the Bible at people who God said, I need you. And they think about Moses. He said, Moses, I need you to lead my people out. God, Moses says, I'm not ready. I can't do that. I can't speak. I can't talk. I don't know the right people. I don't live in the right place. I don't have the right last name. I don't have the right education. I don't have the right knowledge. I can't do that. Yet we see when he finally took that step, we see him being the one that God used. We see him being the one that God used to lead. We see him being the one in the forefront, taking the step and making the move. Why? Because God had him prepared through his life to get to that moment, to be in that moment, to be right there where God needed him to be, to lead out his people, because he was the one that God needed. He was the one that God wanted. And that's the same with you. God can bring somebody else, but God don't want somebody else. God wants you when he asks you. And God wants me when he asks me. And what he expects and he wants us to do is to say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. See, he said it like this. I like Jeremiah 29:11. My favorite verse, right? Now, I was reading it in different, and it doesn't matter what translation you read it out of, I like it. Because I have one Bible that has four translations, and I like every one of them. And they all sound good. Let me read them all to you. The King James says it like this. It says, I know the thoughts I have for you. I know the thoughts I think toward. I like to think about God thinking about me. Did you ever think about that? God sitting up there just thinking about you. All the stuff he could think about, he has to control everything, right? He has to control the whole universe. But he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the individual, the Christian, the person that's sitting right here. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. And I thought, I'm glad God doesn't think thoughts of evil towards me. Because I can think some evil thoughts towards people, but I can't imagine the evil that God could create in his mind if he wanted to. And the evil that he could do if he wanted to. Because if he wanted to, he could. And he would be justified. Because my life has not earned a single blessing from him. My life has not earned a single thing from him. But evil from him. Because even though he saved me, I still fall and I still fail and I still sin. My life deserves death and hell. But God says, no, not going to do that. Not going to do that. I love you more than that. I saved you because I love you. Like Trent told us this morning, he knew we were going to fail and he saved us anyway. He knew we were going to sin, but he saved us anyway. Why? Because God saved you because God loves you and no other reason. God saved me because he loves me, not because I'm good enough, not because I'm smart enough, not because I'll be good, but rather because he loves me and he loves me anyway. So the King James says, not of evil, to give us an expected end. The NIV says it like this: I know the plans that I have for you. God has a plan for your life. And I like that. I like knowing that in those thoughts that he thought about you today, he thought about you yesterday, and he thinks about your tomorrow. And when you get in that tomorrow, he's thinking about you there. And he's already got it lined out for you. He's already got figured out what he wants, what his plan, what his road is. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. The Living Bible says it like this: plans for good and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Now, my favorite is this one. Because what I like about God is God is sure and steadfast. He's not wishy-washy. He's not iffy. But he says it like this. This is what the New Revised says. For surely I know the plan. Surely with God, to me, brings a whole new level. How do I want to say it? Brings a whole new level of absolutism. I don't know if that's a word. We'll make it up. Of absolute. There's nothing, no doubt about it. Absolutely, God says, I'm sure I know. These are without a doubt what I want. This is my will. This is for you. He says, for surely I know the plans that I have for you. For surely I know the plans. For plans for you, for your welfare. Now, I like that because that means your well-being. God's plans for you are to take care of you. God's plans for you are to take care of you. In every situation. Sometimes we don't think we're going to make it through. God says, my plan is for your welfare. I've got it right here. I've got you. I've got this for you. I've got it taken care of. My plans are for your welfare, for your well-being, for your goodness, not for your harm. And to give us a future with a hope. A future with a hope. Paul said it like this: if I have hope in this world, if I have hope only in Christ Jesus, in this world I'm of all men most miserable. He said, if my hope lies here and here and only here alone, and I live here and I die here and it's done, then to live for Jesus makes me miserable. But my hope doesn't stop here. Rather, my hope goes beyond this. My hope goes into heaven. Paul says, your hope is not this world, but your hope is heaven. And your faith gives your heaven substance right now. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what you hope for in Jesus isn't a dream, isn't a wish. He says, your faith gives you that hope. So God said, I'm sure I know the plans I have for you, for your well-being, and to give you a future with the hope, and that hope is heaven. And he says, I plan all along to bring you to this moment, and when I bring you to this moment, to have you prepared for this moment, to have you ready for this moment, and to have this moment ready for you. This is what he said. He said in Psalms 10, he says, The Lord will prepare. The heart of the humble. The Lord will prepare the heart. Those who love God, who live for God, who walk with God, who worship with God, who commune with God. God says, I will prepare your heart. I will get you ready. I will take care of it. I will make you the shape I need you to be. I will mold you and I will make you and I will form you. He says, I will prepare the heart of the humble and those that call on me and those that walk with me. He says in Isaiah, I will go before thee. He said, I will go before thee. He says, so he has, I have this plan for you. I have this road for you. I have this way to go. And it leads from moment to moment to moment. And each one of those moments, he says, I go before you. I don't tell you to go. I ask you to come. I don't send you ahead of me. I go ahead of you. And I ask you to come where I'm already at. I ask you to come into my moment, into this moment with me. I ask you to take that step that I've already taken. He says, I will go before you and will make crooked places straight. What he says is this: I'll prepare your heart. That's God saying, I'm going to get you ready. I'm going to get you ready for this moment. I'm going to get you ready to take this step. I'm going to get you ready to conquer. I'm going to get you ready for the victory. But then when I'm done with that, I'm going to go ahead of you, and I'm going to take the crooked places. I'm going to make them straight. I'm going to get ready ahead just for you. Make it what you need it to be. What I need it to be for you. He said it like this. And I like this one in the Exodus. He says, we read it. I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. I thought about it like this. God said, I'm going to go ahead of you. I'm not going to send you till I get there. I'm not going to ask you to come till I get there. And I'm going to get into that moment. And that moment may be coming. And that moment might be good. And that moment might be bad. But it is the moment that God's leading you to. But he says, I'm going to go ahead of you. And I'm going to get it ready. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, all right, come on up. And while you walk that road and you walk that path, he said, I'm going to set an angel right before you to keep you on the way, to make sure you don't go to the left and to make sure you don't go to the right and to make sure that your eyes stay straight and you stay on the straight and narrow. And if you start to deviate, he says, I'll have my angel set to keep you right on track. So I think it like this. He just gave you a guardian angel. He just gave you a guardian angel. Just yours, just for you. You know, I use that guardian angel throughout the wintertime. Some of you know where we live. It's up on a hill, and it's steep. And if it has that white stuff, when I need to drive up, I ask God, put my angel behind me and push my car. Because sometimes that's the only way I'm getting up this hill. And you know what? We've got up every time. Now, twice I've had a little issue, but I made it to the top because I asked God, put your angel back there and push. And that guardian angel gets you right up. So he said, I will put the angel with you, right ahead of you, to keep you in the way, to keep you on track, and to bring you to the place, he says, that I have prepared. So he's already got it ready for you. He's already got it ready for you to be there, ready for the work that you need to do, ready to be what you need to be for Jesus, ready to step out because he wants you to step out. Now think about who in the Bible shows us this. Not thought about Esther. Let me show you God real quick, getting Esther ready. The Bible tells you and me in the book of Esther, in chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, I think it is, the Bible says that the people of Israel, that they were conquered, that Jerusalem was conquered and Judah was conquered, and they were led captivity into Babylon. And in this was Esther's mom and dad and Esther's cousin Mordecai. And they were brought up to Babylon, you see. And they were brought up to serve him. But what happened was Esther's parents passed away. And Mordecai, the cousin, said, I'll take you as my own. I'll raise you as my own child. He said, you're not my child, but I'm going to take you in and treat you like you're my child. I'm going to take care of you. That's what we, the church, need to be doing. We need to be taking care of those who need taken care of. We need to be helping those who need our help. We need to be stepping up and being for what those people need, being what we can be that they can't get. Mordecai said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to bring you in as my child. So she got Mordecai as a parent, and he taught her the ways of the law, and he taught her, like, obey your mother and your father. And she did that. She obeyed him. I think it's in 320 maybe that it says she obeyed Mordecai as when she was growing up with him. Growing up with him. Because he taught her that. So we see that God brought her up into Babylon, got her into Mordecai's family, into his household, so she could learn the ways and she could learn how to obey and she could learn what God wanted her to do. So what happened? Well, then later you know the story. The story is this. And you ever read chapter 1 of Esther? Anybody ever read Esther chapter 1? All right, if you haven't, go read it and see what happens, all right? Change of queen. Let's just put it that way, a change of a queen, okay? Esther was one that was the one that was picked as a queen. And Mordecai said this. He said, don't tell them you're a Jew. Not yet. Not yet. Don't tell them you're a Jew. And she was picked as the queen. So she's a queen. She's a Jew. Then a man named Haman gets promoted. And he wants everybody to kneel down to him. Right? So Mordecai doesn't kneel down to anybody but God. And Haman doesn't like it. So Haman says, that's it, I'll take care of you. I'm going to kill all the Jews. All the Jews in the kingdom. So he tricks the king and he says, all right, I need to kill all the Jews. And he says, all right, go do what you feel is good. So Mordecai gets word to Esther, who's now the queen. And now God getting her ready and God getting the situation ready. Part of Haman's plan, he built gallows to hang Mordecai. He sent out a letter from the king to kill the Jews. So Mordecai says, Esther, you need to go before the king. You need to go before the king and need to ask him not to kill us, basically. Ask him not to kill us. Let him know you're a Jew. She says, Mordecai, the law says anybody, man, woman, boy, girl, child, it don't matter who you are. If you enter into the inner court and he doesn't hold out the golden scepter, you're dead. Bottom line, you're dead. You don't come in, you die. So she says this. Part of her getting prepared, you get all the church together and have them pray. Get everybody together and have them pray. So God grew her up under Mordecai, learning the ways of the Jews, learning the ways of the law, getting her ready for this moment. Then he got her into the king for a queen, ready for this moment. Now the Jews are in danger of being killed. And she goes before him and she says, story short, long. All right, long story short. She got him to not kill the Jews, ended up getting Haman killed on his own gallows. She goes to Mordecai before this and says, he might kill me because you can't enter. And he says to her, what if you were put into the kingdom for such a moment as this? Such a moment as this. What if this is the reason you are who you are? Let me ask you this. When you come to that moment that's scary for you and scary for me, and God wants you to step out, or God wants you to say, you're at school, or you're at work, or you're on the road somewhere, you're on the sidewalk down the street, and God says, I need you to speak to that person. I need you to pray with that person. And you say, I don't know, God. They're awful mean. They're the school bully. They're the work bully. They're the street bully. I don't know. God says, but what if I put you in this place for this moment right here? What if I put you in the kingdom for this moment right here? He says, what if I ordained you for this moment right here? Because Jeremiah says, God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And when you came out of the womb, I ordained you for a plan. I ordained you for a path. I ordained you for a life to live. He said, and I'm getting you ready for that life. And I'm getting that life ready for you. So when he asked me or you to do that, he says, what if I saved you for this moment? What if the person who God asked to speak to Billy Graham said, I don't know about that, God. I'm not ready for that. And they didn't do it. What if the person that spoke to you about getting saved said, God, that's my family. And you know how tough it is to witness to families. How many of you ever heard that? Yeah. Toughest people witness to is family members. What if your family said, it's awful tough to witness to family, God. So I don't think I'll witness to them. Where would I be right now? Where would I be if my best friend didn't witness to me about going to church on Sunday night? Where would I be? I wouldn't be here. I would be out there or maybe even dead by now. But where would you be if someone didn't step up and say, you know what? You need to think about your soul. Have you ever thought about going to church? Have you ever thought about Jesus? Well, it's hard to do. Yeah, but God has prepared you to get to this moment. God has prepared you to get ready for this moment. And even more, God has prepared that moment to get ready for you so that when you step in that moment, when you enter that moment, when you make that move for God, just like Queen Esther, everything's lined up and everything's ready to go. If you take that step, the victory happens. and you become the winner, and somebody else becomes a winner, and down the line, somebody else. It doesn't stop there, but when you take that step for Jesus, you help others. When you take that step for Jesus, other people see it. And it's kind of like in church, when they say, anybody got a word? And nobody has a word. Nobody has a word for God. Why? Because God ain't been good to none of us, right? Wrong. Because we say, has God been good to you? And we all say, yes, he has. And we say, you want to tell us about it? And we say, got another song? Got another song, Mr. Song Leader? And then we say, anybody got a word for the Lord? And we say, let's pray. We don't step up. But when one person does, when one person steps up, it breaks the ice, and then someone else gets the courage to step up. Well, if they can thank the Lord, I can thank the Lord. If they can praise the Lord, I can praise the Lord. Well, he's done that for me too, but he's done this too. So when you step up and step out, it don't just affect you. It affects others down the line, and it affects God's kingdom, and it affects a whole lot because it just trickles out. And when you step up in that moment that God prepared you for, it gets somebody else ready for the moment that God's prepared them for. Now, I thought about this. Whenever the Bible tells us that Haman built his gallows and that God used him instead of the devil, I thought it like this. If you and I walk with God, the devil will prepare your victory for you. If you and I walk with God, many times the devil will prepare your victory for you. What do you mean? It wasn't God that built those gallows. It was the devil that built those gallows for Haman, a follower of God. But God turned it around and said it like this. What you meant for evil, I'm going to use for good. So I'm not going to have one of mine hang on it. I'm going to have one of yours hang on it. So you don't get the victory here with the death of Mordecai. I get the victory with the death of Haman and the life of all the Jews. But it was the devil that built the gallows that God used. So when you walk with God and we say God works in mysterious ways, sometimes he lets the devil prepare your victory for you. And you get to use what he's done for the glory of God. But you have to be walking with God. We have to be stepping out with God. We have to be willing to take that scary moment and that scary step and step out and step up for God. Just like Esther, she could have died. Very rarely will you face death because you step up for God. Not in America. Very rarely in America will you face death for stepping up for God. Now, if you go to another country, you might face death for it. And there are times, very rarely, but there are times in America where if you step up for God, you might put your life on the line, but not very often. Most of the times, the worst that'll happen is you'll get teased, mocked, and ridiculed. And that's nothing compared to what Jesus went through. But you see, he prepares you, and he prepares me, and he prepares the way, and he prepares the situation, and he prepares where you're going because he's already there. And I thought about this. I thought about Peter one time. I think it's in Matthew 17. I think it's Matthew 17. The Bible says this. The Bible says that when they were come down to Capernaum, Jesus was in the house, and those that collected the tribute came up to Peter outside the house and said, does not your master pay tribute? Now, tribute was of the law. I think it's Exodus 30 and Exodus 38 where you'll find that, where if you were 20 years old or older, a male, you had to pay a tribute. I think it was half a shekel. Now, here's what happened. They come to Peter and they said, your master claims to be of religion, of the Jews, of Christianity. Does he not obey the law? And Peter said, well, of course he does. Let's talk about him for a minute. The Bible says that one of the fourth commandment, I think, isn't it? The fourth that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Go to church on the Sabbath day. Go to church when the door, go to church when it says the preacher to the Sunday night core crew, go to church. Like you need to hear that, right? That part should have been some other day when we had a whole bunch of people, because you're here when the doors are open. But he says, go to church when there's church. Now, here's what we see. The Bible says, and Al quoted in his prayer, he said, says, when Jesus was coming to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day, when Jesus entered into synagogue, as his custom was, they delivered to him the book of Isaiah. Why? Because he goes to church. Of course he does. Of course he follows the law. He does just what he said for them, for the Jews, for the commandments. Keep the Sabbath day holy. For us, forsake not the assembling together of the Lord's people. Forsake not the assembling together of the church. Forsake not the assembling. Go to church as we're in church. Jesus did it, so should we. They went by the old. He said, yes, he does. He does exactly that. Now, what about reading the book, reading the Bible? Should we read the Bible? You say, Rob, are you going to talk about reading the Bible again? Yeah, because we need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible. Listen, the Word puts it like this. Paul said that Jesus Christ gave himself, loved the church so much that he gave himself for it so that he could renew it and cleanse it by the washing of water by the Word. All right? Washing of water by the Word. So, reading the Bible changes and washes us. It fixes us. It says, washing your mind. This is what he says. Be ye not transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. And that's through the Word. And then Jesus says that we do it by washing you with the water of the Word. So when we get in God's holy Word, when we get in the Scripture and we read it, it cleanses us, it washes us, it sanctifies us, it cleans us up. It's kind of like taking a bath. When you read God's Word, it's like taking a bath and it washes. Now think about it. We have church 3 times a week. What if you only read the Bible the 3 times a week that you come to church? What if you only took a shower 3 times a week? Would you stink? Yeah. What if you only come to church and read the Bible 2 times a week? You skip a service. What if you only took a bath 2x a week? You would really stink, right? What if you only came to church and read the Bible Sunday morning? Bless you, what if you only took a shower 1x a week, whether you needed it or not? You wouldn't stink, you would be rank. And no one would want to be around you. Think about this, if I only read the Word 3 times in a week, and it's that when the preacher reads or my teacher reads, does my mind stink? Does Jesus go, we need to wash that more often. We need to renew that more often, because the less I renew it in God, the more my mind thinks like the world. Because the world puts all this stuff in. The world puts all kinds of junk in. The world puts all kinds of garbage in. And the only way to get it out is to fill it with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So when I read His Word and it washes over you, it washes out of you that which the world has put in you. And it gets your mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, the mind which was in Christ Jesus. We need to get that mind in us. And the way to get that mind in us is to get all that junk out of us. And the way to get that junk out of us is to get the Word of God in us as much as we can, not just Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, occasionally on Wednesdays, but rather as much daily as we can. If you can get a little bit of the Bible in you every day, then you'll find that you get a little bit more of God in you every day. And the more of God you get in you, the less of the world that will be in you. That is how we prepare ourselves. That is how we prepare ourselves. And I just jumped all around. But listen, Peter says this. Of course, he keeps the law. Of course, he obeys the Word of God. Bible says that Peter walks in the house, and Jesus don't even let him talk. Jesus says, let me ask you a question, Peter. Who does the king take tribute of, his children or strangers? Not going to all that, just want to let you know something. Jesus was in the house, but he knew what was going on outside the house. He was inside, but knew what was going on outside. So he might be in your mind, but he knows what's going on right outside your body. He knows what's going on in your heart. Jesus could be here, but he knows what's going on there. We can't get away from that. We can't get away from that. Jesus says, I know the intents of your heart. I know the thoughts of your mind. I know the words of your mouth. I know the steps of your feet. And I know the angle of your eyes. I know exactly what you're thinking. I know exactly what you want. He says, I know all about you. I might be in the house, but I know what's going on outside the house. I might be over here, but I know what's going on over here. I might be here and you think you're there, but I'm there where you're at. I know what's going on no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're hiding. I know all that. Peter says, you know what? He does. He pays tribute. And Jesus says, all right, so we don't offend him. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the stream. I want you to go down to the stream, all right? Now, Peter has been walking with Jesus, seeing all these miracles, seeing that when people obey what Jesus says, what happens? When you obey God, great things happen. When we obey the word of the Lord, miracles. When we obey Jesus, victory happens. When we do what, so Peter's been watching him all this time. Peter's been seeing what goes on. So Jesus says to him, he says, all right, Peter, I want you to go down to the river, and I want you to take a hook and just drop it in. Because I've got something prepared for this moment. First off, Peter, I have you prepared for this moment. If you will do what I ask you to do. Now think about it. Go take a hook, drop the hook. Don't put bait on it, he said. Just go right down, take the hook, drop the hook. Now when the first fish that bites it, you pull the fish out. He says you pick it up, you look in its mouth, and you see what's in there. And when you look in the mouth, there's going to be money. In the fish's mouth. Now think about that for just a minute. How crazy is that? For just a minute. I'm going to be real quick here. I'm just going to be done in a few minutes. Think about that for a minute. So here was a fish swimming around, and somewhere the fish saw a coin laying on the bottom or floating down. And the fish bites the coin, gets it in its mouth, and doesn't spit it out. How do I know that? Because it's still in there when it bites a hook. So this fish swims around with the coin in its mouth, and it sees the shiny hook, and it goes up to a hook with no bait and says, huh, now this strange shiny thing in my mouth isn't what I want. I'm not going to spit it out. Rather, I'm going to bite that strange shiny thing because I want that too. So he bites that strange shiny thing. So the fish with the mouth full of coin bites the hook with no bait. So when Peter pulls it up and he looks in the mouth of the fish, there's the coin enough to pay the tribute for Peter and for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had a fish prepared, kind of like with Jonah. Remember the Bible says, the Lord prepared a great fish just for Jonah. You know, one that had a room down inside of it, just for Jonah. I don't know, maybe had a big screen TV down there. Maybe had a video game. Maybe the first Fortnite was inside the whale's belly. You know what I mean? Jonah was down there, come on, talking to, you know, I don't know who he's talking to because nobody else with him. But the Lord prepared a fish for Jonah, and the Lord prepared a fish for Peter, and prepared Peter for this moment. Now, Jonah didn't get prepared for his moment, and look what happened. He ended up swimming 3 days in the whale's belly. So Peter says, I'm prepared, let's do it. I'm going to get the fish, I'm going to get the coin, we're going to pay the tribute. Why? Because Jesus prepares you for your moment, and prepares your moment for you. So when you get in life, and you get to that moment that says, hey, I need you to step into this. I need you to step out and do this. I need you to take that move. I need you to make that move. I need you to say that thing. I need you to go to that place. I need you to go do that. And we say, God, it's too big. I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. God says, I know you're not, but I am. And I am within you. So I make you ready. I've prepared you for that. And not only have I prepared you for that, but I prepared the moment for you. So when you come to this moment, just do it. Just do what God says. That's where the victory comes. That's where the battle's won. The battle's won in your stepping into the moment. The battle's won in your stepping into the trial. The battle's won in your stepping into the battle. As soon as you step in, the battle's won because God says, I'm for you, and if I'm for you, who can be against you? And if I fight for you, no one can beat you because, A, I am bigger and greater than anything ever in this world. I think it's what he said. Greater is he, meaning God, that is in you, meaning the Christian, than he that's in this world, meaning the devil. So when the devil comes against you, he don't come against you, he comes against God. And when he comes against God, he never wins, but he runs. And see, when you're in Jesus, and when you're in God, and when you walk with God, the Bible says, to win your battle, just resist. And when you're in me, and you resist him, he will flee, because he's not running from you, he's running from him. Because he's bigger than he is. The devil might be bigger than us, but the devil's not bigger than God. And God says, I've got you ready for the moment, and I got the moment ready for you, but more importantly, I'm ready to be in the moment. And that's what happened. Think about the Jews when they left Israel, when they left Egypt, the Bible says, God went before them, just like he promised you he would go before you, as a pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire by night. He went before them and made the way ready for them and had them ready to walk through. And the Bible says when they got to the water and the Red Sea, and then Moses stuck out the staff and God parted the waters, God said, the Bible tells us that he moved from in front of them around behind them and stared at the enemy. Said he looked at him through the fire. And they saw the face of God through the fire, and it startled the enemy. That's what God says to you. I've prepared you for this moment, whatever this moment will be. Whatever this moment is, it might be right now, and it might be something you're going through right now, and you need to come pray about it right now. Then you come and pray about it and let God help you get through this moment right now. It might be a moment that happens tomorrow, or it might be a moment that happens this week. But God says, I prepared you for this moment when I ask you to step, when I ask you to move, when I ask you to be for me, when I ask you to go for me, when I ask you to do for me. I prepared you for that moment. He says, but I've also prepared that moment for you. I've got it ready. So when you step in, the victory is just waiting. When you step in, it's going to just fall right in place. When you step in, the water is going to part. The land is going to be dry. Victory is on the other side. And when you get there, you're going to turn around and go, wow, that was easier than I thought. God's going to say, I know, because you had nothing to do with it. I did it all. And that's what he says, is I've got it ready for you. You're ready for it. But most of all, I'm ready with you to be in it. So in this moment, don't rely on you, don't rely on the circumstances, rely on Jesus, and you get through. I'm just about done if we get ready to sing. So as we walk through this life, as we walk through this world, as we fight these battles, is there anything that you and I can do to get ready? We can grow in Jesus. The more you and I grow in Jesus, the easier it is for God to prepare us. The more the Bible says it like this, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we do that, the easier it is for God to prepare me and to prepare you. And the more we grow in him, the quicker he prepares the circumstance. The more we grow in him, the faster we obey. And the faster we obey, the quicker we see victory. But it's all about this moment and God. It's not about me, you, or the circumstance. This moment and God. So if you're in this moment and you need God, come get him. If you know this moment is coming and you need God, come get him. If you just want to come and ask God now to be in this moment when it comes, come get him. As we stand and sing, if you need Jesus, come. He's ready.
Page 11, number 11.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of no. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sign nor a tear can abide while we trust and trust and obey.
Remember, life happens, but God's ready. God's always ready for what's happening. God's always ready for the moment when the moment comes. Does anybody have anything?
It will cost you far more.